Welcome into a brand new episode of Bottom Line Baseball. I'm Alex Buse. There's Jackson Ryan, and we have a big episode for you. We started off the week with Ken Rosenthal, and we're finishing it with Trey Hillman, the third base coach for the Miami Marlins. I don't think we can top this week, Jackson.
Yeah, no, for sure. Trey's been around the game, both in the U.S. and outside the U.S., so he has a lot of experience, and I look forward to sharing what he has to talk about on the podcast.
Oh, man, so many great things, and we won't waste any more time. Here's the interview with third base coach with the Miami Marlins, Trey Hillman. Joining us on today's episode of Bottom Line Baseball, Trey Hillman. He's a third base coach for the Miami Marlins. Trey, thanks so much for taking the time to join Bottom Line Baseball today. We're 1 month into the season. As Ken Rosenthal always says, what's so great about the baseball season is each month is like a different soap opera for each team. So what has the first month been like for you and this Miami Marlins team?
Well, it's been challenging. I think everybody thought that with the division set up the way that it is, very competitive, obviously, a lot of talented pitching, frontline starters, a lot of talented position players, and just stemming from the 60-game season last year and trying to, in your mind, kind of graduate that into 162 back to the full season. I think everybody kind of felt like everyone in this division would be beating each other up a little bit. And that's, so far, that's what's kind of happened. Nobody's really taken charge with jumping out to a big lead. And things have gotten a little closer, I think, for the other four teams in the division, along with what the talent base that the Braves have had for the last several years.
And Trey, you touched on it, but can you talk about going from a 60-game season back to 162 and how much that wear and tear on players is going to be and how important the 40-man roster is?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's so many things that are impressive about Donnie, but I remember one of the meetings that we had at spring training, probably about 10 days before we broke camp, and he included everyone that was still lasting at Major League camp and several guys that had already been sent down. And he emphasized the point, talking about going back to the 60-game season last year and our COVID outbreak three days into the season, where we had 17 cases of COVID-19 hit our club. And he just said, hey, it's going to take all of us. You guys saw it most recently last year, but it happens every year. And it does. And there's probably going to have to be movement, Jackson, on the 40 man at some point in time. You hope you don't have to, because that's why you set your 40 man. Statistics tell us that it takes a lot of guys nowadays, the wear and tear of this season.
You mentioned Don Mattingly. What's the relationship like with him between your baseball mind and his baseball mind and then everyone else on the coaching staff really helping this young Miami Marlins team? I mean, look what you got to accomplish in the 60-game season as well.
Well, you know, Donnie and I have been friends for about 23, 24 years. We met back in 97 when I was working Major League camp for Joe Torre. And then Donnie came back on board with Mr. Steinbrenner, and he roved to the Double A and the Triple A team. Really got started getting kind of close in 99 and 2000 when I was managing in Columbus, Ohio, Triple A club. But he's got a great baseball mind. I believe that we have solid thinkers and experience on the staff. And Donnie does a great job of listening and asking for opinions. So, you know, a lot of things, I've been in that chair. A lot of things go through a manager's mind at different points in time during a ball game.
And Trey, you brought up the Yankees, and what is it like to have Derek Jeter be at the head, as well as a new GM, Kim Ng, to be the head of the Miami Marlins?
Yeah, you know, Derek, obviously, I was around Derek through the minor league system with the Yankees, and then when he was a major league player at major league camp with the Yankees. Derek has done a great job of letting the baseball people do the baseball stuff. And even though, obviously, he's a Hall of Fame baseball player himself, he has really seemingly immersed himself into the business side and the community side. And the Miami Marlins have done a lot of great things in the last 3 years in the community since the new ownership has taken over. And as far as Kim Ng goes, Kim and I go all the way back to 1997 with the Yankees and then on to my Dodger days before she joined the commissioner's office. And even after she joined the commissioner's office, I would venture to the MLB area of downtown New York City, and we'd have coffee from time to time with some of the other teams that I was employed by when I'd go in with the Dodgers and then also with the Astros. But she's done an outstanding job. She travels. She's traveling with us right now, and she is exceptionally smart and just wisdom filled. And I think she's been a big, big plus for our club.
You mentioned all the connections throughout the game, and that's kind of what happens, right? You never know where the game of baseball is going to take you. But who's one person that you really respect in the game that you just haven't been able to work with in the trenches?
Let's see, that I haven't been able to work with. You know, there are a lot of people that I'd want to work with, but one that I managed against that people are probably most familiar with. When I was managing in Kansas City, we had the Highway Series against the Cardinals, and that was Tony La Russa. Tony treated me exceptionally well. I expressed my interest to him in 2008, my first year with Kansas City, about wanting to gain some of his wisdom, and he treated me like family. I mean, we had lots of baseball conversations out on the field, and have stayed in touch a little bit over the years. I congratulated him when he got in the Hall of Fame, obviously, and then also when he reconnected with his old team in the White Sox and got that managing job again. So I wish him the best, and he's somebody that I've really enjoyed talking baseball with that I haven't actually ever worked for.
You brought up managing, Trey, and you managed in Japan. What's the biggest difference between the Japanese baseball and Major League Baseball, and what is some similarities as well?
You know, the similarities are facilities are really good in Japan, first of all. You know, the experience in Korea, that was one thing that was a little bit different. The facilities were not quite as manicured and quite as what we would call in our vernacular big league. But in Japan, the facilities are very nice. The game is more geared in Japan toward agility, speed and agility, and more of a sacrificial game. Even in the Pacific League, which is the DH League, you have the Central League, which is where the pitchers hit. That's what we call their National League. And then the American League is the Pacific League, but it's more based on agility and one run at a time rather than the power game. Ours obviously is geared, and our American fans continue to express that they want to see run production.
So when you talk about just how the two leagues compare to each other, which is more fun? Because I feel like over in Japan, you kind of, there's that pressure, but not almost the same pressure that Major League Baseball has in the United States.
No, there's a lot of pressure over there. I think that's one of the mistakes that we as Westerners make if you haven't ever experienced it. They put just as much pressure and feel just as much pressure over there. You've got the Owandans, which are the traveling crowds that go to pretty much every game. It's the cheering section. Every player has their own cheer. The fans stand up and bounce up and down and chant pretty much the whole game. There's a lot of pressure in the Japanese game. There's a lot of pressure in the Korean game as well. I think that we feel like, you know, since we're Major League Baseball, that there isn't as much inherent pressure internally for the individual players and the staff and the organizations. But my experience is there's just as much pressure over there as there is here. And a lot of people don't know this. At the time that I was managing in Japan, there were 7 sport-only daily newspapers put out in the country of Japan. It's a lot of competition to try to get the big story. So the media is very, very much part of it over there as well.
Trey, what's your best story that you could give us from either Korea or Japan that not very many people would know about?
You know, from both places, just the blessings and the experience of getting to go to the championship series. You know, we were blessed to get to do it in Japan in 06, won it in 06. We went back-to-back years, 06 and 07. We did not win it in 07, but just the grind of that. And then the exact same thing in Korea in 2017. We went to the playoffs, lost in the first round, and then were heavy underdogs in 2018, and blessed to get to win a championship there. And just the full body of work, grind of going through those seasons and getting that reward that you look for in winning championships. That's undoubtedly the highlights of being there. And also for me, my family, getting to experience that as well, especially my wife and my dad.
You got to see both sides of it, right? And we've talked about that. What was the biggest thing that you took back when you came back from Japan to Major League Baseball as a coach?
I think probably the biggest thing was to be more open-minded. You know, there's different ways to do different things. You know, the old saying, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. What we grow up with and what we're familiar with and what we grow up believing is the best way to do something, or the best fundamental skill set and the way to teach a skill set. There are different ways that you can do it. You know, I could talk for weeks about the differences in the way things are taught in Japan, as opposed to the way that they're taught here in the United States. But, you know, probably that, just to be more open-minded. The work ethic is exceptional. The respect from the players for the hierarchy system in Japan, just from the paradigm standpoint of the leader on down, is something really that I wish all Americans could experience and behold, because there's a tremendous amount of respect there.
So, Trey, this is our favorite part of the show. It's the Fast Five Quick Round. So it's 5 quick questions. I'll ask one, then Jackson will ask one, and we'll flip back and forth. Are you ready, Trey?
You bet.
All right, first one. Who is the most underrated player on this Miami Marlins team right now?
Most underrated player, I would say, is probably John Birdie.
All right, Trey, what is your favorite country artist?
Favorite country artist right now, I'm kind of into Chris Stapleton. I know he's a hot item, but I like not only the way his cadence and his voice with the singing, but he's just a tremendously talented writer as well, obviously.
All right, I got a follow-up, because Jackson and I go back and forth on all of this. Luke Combs, overrated or not?
You know, I'm not that familiar with Luke Combs. I'm kind of an old school guy from a standpoint of, you know, I like picking. I gotta get on that though, because I mess with the guitar a little bit. So I'll look up some Luke Combs stuff and see if I can pick some of his stuff.
Now, do you travel with your guitar?
Yeah, I got a little Taylor travel guitar I take everywhere we go. Yep.
Wow, that's pretty cool. If we wouldn't know that, we would have had you bring it out and you could play for a little bit for us on the podcast.
No, you don't want to lose viewership. You took that risk just having me on the show.
All right, my next question for you would be, what type of baseball did you like better between Japanese and Korea baseball?
Probably the Japanese game, because it was different. You know, like, as I said, it was based so much on agility, and just being a big fan of pure athleticism, I saw more overall athleticism in Japan than I did Korea. Korea was very, very much geared, with all 10 teams having the DH, was very much geared to an American League style bang the ball game. So I really enjoyed the variety, more of the variety with the athleticism in Japan.
Then the last one for the Fast Five, what is your go-to food to eat when you're on the road?
I'm a carnivore. So anything that's meat. I love chicken done up many different ways. And we're very spoiled. Chicken, beef, fish, shrimp. I'm in on anything that's carnivore.
Now, okay. Now, what's one, I've always wondered this. So you're in the National League East. So you don't get to go to some ballparks. Is there one that isn't on this year's schedule that you kind of miss or bummed out about that you can't go to this year?
Well, yeah, you know, I grew up in Arlington, Texas, and was once again very blessed to get to see that new ballpark. Our son-in-law played in the World Series there last year. So I got to see that ballpark, but I didn't get to see the infrastructure, you know, the clubhouse and underground and get down on the field. That's a ballpark I'd like to see and get to know a little bit. But actually, we on this road trip, we went to my all-time favorite up to this point, and that's Oracle Park in San Francisco. It's even though it's cold and it can be miserable, especially as a base coach being out on the lines and having two pair of long johns on. It's a beautiful ballpark, and the atmosphere there is outstanding. And when I was in that division, the rivalry between the Dodgers and the Giants was something to behold. So that's been one of my better major league experiences.
Yeah, that's one on my top of my bucket list.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ballpark. Everyone should see that ballpark. It's gorgeous.
And then the last question that I have for you is simple. If a 15-year-old kid walked up to Trey Hillman and said, "Trey, baseball is sometimes boring to me and I'm never going to watch it," what are you saying to that 15-year-old to get them back interested in the game of baseball?
You know, they actually made a shirt of exactly what I would say on our son-in-law after the World Series was over, and it was three words: baseball is fun. I mean, it really is. It's a fun game. I think that you would have to sit them down as a 15-year-old. I think they could understand and appreciate this. Sit them down and explain some of the different nuances of the game and how all the components can domino into major things. I have a real problem when people say, "Hey, we need to do those little things." Honestly, there really aren't any little things. The accumulation of all those things that people call little things over a 162 game schedule, there's no other sport that challenges you that many times with things that are so difficult to do. So I think arguably it's the most difficult one to be consistent at and sustainable at. And I think those that really, really love challenges, if they're explained that in some detail to where they can kind of grasp that, those that are not afraid of major challenges, I think would really, really grab onto the game.
You know, I always say every pitch matters in baseball.
No doubt. And
it's crazy.
Yep.
But Trey, thanks so much for taking the time this morning to come on Bottom Line Baseball. What's one series you're looking forward to most coming up in the Marlins schedule?
Right now, I mean, you know, we're grinding. We've got so many injuries on our roster, but these guys are grinding it out. We're in our division right now for these next 3 days, starting tomorrow with the Nationals. And, you know, hopefully we can climb to the 500 mark and over and then go from there. But just to be able to sustain, especially through all these injuries, and get some of these guys that weren't originally scheduled to get the major league experience, they're getting that experience and hope that they do well. It's always fun to see guys, you know, come up here for the first time. That's exciting for everyone.
Absolutely. But, Trey, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Jackson, great seeing you, buddy. Alex, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
We just heard it from Trey Hillman, the third base coach from the Miami Marlins, one of the great baseball people and mind in the game. Just incredible insight. And not so many people can say that they coached and played in Major League Baseball and then also coaching over in Japan and Korea and then come back to coaching. in Major League Baseball. Not too many people can say that, but Trey can.
No, for sure. And you have to love the game of baseball to be able to go over to Korea and Japan when you've been coaching with the Royals, the Astros, the Yankees, other organizations, to get back in the Major League Baseball, back with the Miami Marlins. And he probably feels at home because he's with familiar foes and familiar people with Derek Jeter and Kim Ng. And so, you know, just great insight today.
Absolutely great insight. And the Miami Marlins are right there in that division, as we mentioned right in the beginning of part of that interview, how they're there. There are a lot of injuries being dealt with, but every team, it seems like, in Major League Baseball dealing with injuries. The Angels just getting their whole lineup back. They were without four of their starters. So now that their lineup's back healthy, hopefully they can stay that healthy. The Yankees dealing with the same thing just all around the league. So I think once teams really get settled in, have their starters back in their lineup, you're going to start to see teams shift again. It's going to be May is going to determine the season. I think the month of May, Jackson, is really going to be the turning point for a lot of these teams. I think the Royals play the White Sox in like 7 to 10 games or something in the month of May.
Yeah, and you'll bring up another team. George Springer just came back to the Toronto Blue Jays as well, which is a huge pickup because George Springer's going to bring a lot of heart and hustle. But going back to the Miami Marlins, they're right in that division. They're 2 games under .500, 1.5 games out of first place because nobody's really separated themselves in that division. And you got Philly and Atlanta both at .500 and 12-12 when we recorded this on Thursday. And so you go from there, but you just want to be right around .500 or better. You can't. Like I've said multiple times, you can't win a division in April, but you can lose it. And so, you know, if you're playing right around .500 baseball or better, you should be good. But I agree with you, Alex, that the month of May is going to be very big.
100% agree. But for next week, we have a big week, opening day for minor league baseball. So we're going to start off the week. We're going to try to top this one with Ken Rosenthal and Trey Hillman. But joining us next week, the first episode of the week, Tim Kirchen of ESPN. He's been covering baseball for over 30 years, one of the great baseball people. He's been collecting box scores from the newspaper since he was just a little kid. So a great baseball person, and Tim Kirchen. And then we'll be joined by some Round Rock Express people, talk about opening day for the minor league season. The first opening day since 2019. It's insane.
And the first game since September 2019 that actually counts at the Dill Diamond, which is crazy to think about.
Unbelievable, but a great week coming up for baseball people, and especially this Bottom Line Baseball podcast. And shout out to Fesco in the Morning for playing a little clip of our Ken Rosenthal interview. A lot of excitement around the Kansas City Royals. And Ken Rosenthal said yesterday two things that excites Royal fans. Yes, the Royals are playoff contenders, and we will absolutely, yes, see a Bobby Witt Jr. call up at some point in this season. So a lot of excitement in Kansas City, best record in baseball. So we'll end it on that. But thanks for joining us on Bottom Line Baseball, and we'll be seeing you next week with Tim Kirchen and some Express